Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us, and happy Tuesday afternoon. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest for the next half hour to talk about some of the challenging disparities that we see between Black and brown kids here in Wisconsin and white kids. Her name is Emily Miata. She is the communications director for Kids Forward here in Wisconsin, an advocacy group for children here in Wisconsin. It's a pleasure to have you, Emily. Thanks for making time.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this data analysis, which is funded and organized through the Annie E. Casey Foundation, tell us what the Kids Count data analysis is. And folks, if you want to go find the Annie E. Casey and Kids Forward 2025 Kids Count data book, you can go to aecf.org/databook. That's aecf.org/databook. Of course, we'll have that website in our show notes for today's program. But Emily, tell us what it is and how did this come about? What are we trying to measure here?
Sure, absolutely. So the 2025 Kids Count data book is a 50-state report of recent data developed by the Annie E. Casey Foundation, and we're co-releasing it with them. And it really analyzes overall, big picture, how kids are faring in post-pandemic America. It has collected and analyzed 16 different indicators across health, education, community, overall wellness. And it helps to essentially provide a score to each state. This year, Wisconsin is ranked 11th overall when it comes to overall well-being for children and their families across the country. Now, that sounds like a wonderful number. Obviously, out of 50, could be a lot worse. But the story here really is, especially in Wisconsin, we have disaggregated data. So the data that helps to inform this report. And that data, like you said, when we divide it out based upon race, we see that the racial disparities in Wisconsin, so we're specifically talking about the gap in outcomes between Black children and white children in our state. For many of the 16 indicators, we have some of the largest gaps in the country. And we know this because, thankfully, we do have disaggregated data. That's another another thing we're focusing on is highlighting a lot of the recent federal attacks that we've seen. The mere existence of data for specific racial and ethnic groups. Of course, it's being driven by a lot of harmful narratives on the federal level that center whiteness. But here in Wisconsin, again, you see the 11th place ranking for the data book, but that does not tell the full story. You really have to see the disaggregated data to dive a little bit deeper. And I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, again, these are 16 factors across a number of broad categories. Again, economic well-being, education, health, and family and community factors. So it's quite broad. And again, that 11th place ranking belies the fact that Wisconsin continues to be amongst the worst states in the country when it comes to that disparity between how our Black and brown kids are doing and white kids here in this state. Can you tell us a little bit, Emily, about some of those most striking disparities?
Yeah, absolutely. So we focused on 6 of the 15 data book indicators for which we have disaggregated data available. One of the indicators is childhood obesity, and we actually don't have disaggregated data available. But for 6 of the ones where we do, Wisconsin is either leading in those disparities between Black and white children, or they're some of the largest in the country. So the first one, for example, low birth weight. So as you can probably imagine, babies with a low birth weight have a higher probability of experiencing developmental problems, short and long-term disabilities. And many factors play into that. Things like, the parents' multiple births, obesity, poor nutrition, poverty, smoking, stress, violence, unhealthy environments. A lot of these things, that we think about when we're going to have kids. And the disparity in the birth weight between Black and white children, so 16.6% of children, Black children in Wisconsin, are born with a low birth weight, less than 5.5 pounds, but only 6.5% of white children are born with that low birth weight. This is the largest disparity in the country for any other, for any state. So of course, this is a huge problem and one of the main things we're highlighting. Another one revolves around education. So another place where we have the largest disparity between Black children and white children in the country is high school students not graduating on time. So 29% of Black children versus 6% of white children don't graduate on time. And again, that's the largest disparity. That 23% difference is the largest disparity in the country. As you can imagine, obviously, a high school diploma is really critical for entering the workforce. Students who graduate on time are able, you know, have more opportunity to make, you know, better choices in their young adulthood. They're more likely to pursue secondary education and training, make healthier decisions, engage in less risky behaviors. So another really important factor. A couple other ones just to touch on kind of more quickly. Eighth grade math scores. Again, we have the largest gap in the country, the largest disparity in the country. 93% of Black children versus 55% of white children are not scoring proficiently when it comes to their math scores. A couple other areas to note as well. Child and teen deaths. So we actually see 79 deaths per 100,000 Black children versus 24 deaths per 100,000 white children. The second largest disparity in the country behind Kansas. We also see a large disparity in children living in families with a high housing cost burden. So 44% of Black children versus 16% of white children. The second largest disparity in the country behind Arkansas. And one other thing that's really important, and I probably should have brought up earlier too, as we're talking about disparities, especially on the state level, you know, it's important to be able to visualize what this looks like more broadly, right? So if you walk across the, you know, border into Minnesota or walk across the border into Illinois, you will not see that same sort of gap. So it's really important to put this into that context of this isn't about personal individual choices or individual failings, right? We can sort of easily fall into these really racist stereotypes and paradigms. This is about on a state level, state by state, how people are faring based on the barriers and the opportunities that our state policy choices have, you know, and how they impact children and families across Wisconsin. So those are just a few of the things to highlight.
Emily, as you were talking, there are, of course, I think that that point deserves so much emphasis. You look at Michigan, you look at Minnesota, you look at Illinois, you look at Pennsylvania, you look, pick your analogous state in the Midwest, and we are worse. You want to pick Indiana, you want to pick Ohio, we are worse, which means what is different here? It requires some humility and some bravery to say this is an unacceptable disparity. And historically, we can talk about so many factors, so many policy decisions that occurred here in Wisconsin. And many of these things happened in other states as well. But the acuteness of some of these policy decisions and their impact, their historical and legacy impact today in the state of Wisconsin is unique and stands alone. To name just one, redlining in the state of Wisconsin was so brutally effective that to this day, folks, if you're not from the Milwaukee area, come on down. It is a beautiful city. You will have a wonderful time. It's one of the best places, least expensive, safest, easily accessed places in the country, in my opinion. But being a native Milwaukeean, Boy, I can tell you exactly where the red lines were. And I knew that when I was a youngster without knowing the term redlining, because those same distinctions, those same lines that were drawn by the federal government to define who could access basically affordable federal government subsidized home ownership, right, we're so specific in Milwaukee. Their legacy lasts to today. We can talk about sundown towns. We've got Reggie Jackson, one of the most knowledgeable historians about these matters, joining our program. If not this week, I think sometime next week, Reggie's coming. So we'll talk about this. But two of these factors directly reflect that. Everything else is a consequence of these decisions, right? And the two factors that I think directly reflect specifically very active, very specific, racially based housing discrimination in the state. Our children living in families with how high housing cost burden, that's 44% of Black children versus 16% of white children, and children living in high poverty areas in the state, 30% of Black children versus 1% of white children. Folks, if you're just joining us, we've got our fabulous guest for this half hour, Emily Miotta. She is the communications director for a Wisconsin organization that I am so happy and relieved is here to help advocate for kids in Wisconsin. The name of that organization is Kids Forward. We're discussing this half hour, the 2025 Kids Count data analysis done in conjunction between Kids Forward and the Annie E. Casey Foundation, exploring racial disparities in outcomes for our kids, all of our kids here in the state of Wisconsin. We're working to get Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, back. What I think, and I bet everybody out there is saying to themselves as they're listening to us, Emily, is, well, what the heck are we going to do about this? How do we make, how do we address these disparities? And Kids Forward has been thinking about that, and boy, do we have some opportunities to do just that in our state's biennial budget. Tell us more.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. You're right on. The state budget is the single greatest opportunity that we have this year to make an impact on some of these disparities. Obviously, they're right in the midst of a number of negotiations, some going better than others. I know you've been covering that, doing a great job of covering that for several weeks now. There are so many important opportunities within the state budget, and folks at home can go to kidsforward.org to see our full analysis of all of the different opportunities in which a state budget can either hurt or help communities, in particular communities of color, but also rural communities, across the state. Racism hurts everyone. Structural racism hurts everyone. So
we're going to talk. I got to hop in because we got to take care of some business. But don't worry, we're going to continue this great discussion on the other side. Do you have questions or comments? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We got Emily Miotta of Kids Forward. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. How do we address the disparities? Up next.